hoping to get through. Thought I was going to bawl through the whole thing. I do want to follow Jesus. We're going to look for the last study, Mary's Journey to the Cross. I feel that it is an incredible honor to be able to teach and to look at Mary's life, just to be able to behold what she did. And there's so much that we can learn from her. So we're going to take her life, and we're going to just take a little stop every time that she's mentioned and see how she followed Jesus to the cross, and how as the cross embraced her life from the very first moment that the angel appeared to her and told her that she would be the mother of the Savior of the world, she chose from that moment to embrace the cross. So she was embraced by the cross, and she embraced the cross. Let's look at that now. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you right now for Mary, for these glimpses into her life, though they seem few, but they're so powerful and so significant. We just ask you now, Lord, that we would consider the woman that you chose to be your earthly mother. In Jesus' name, amen. As a theme scripture, I'd like to use John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, which we just heard about. There's probably not anything in life that I like to do more than to take glimpses of the cross, all the people that were around there, what was happening there at the cross. I'd like to take you on a journey, like I said, a journey that God planned before the foundations of the world for the woman that he would choose to be his earthly mother. It's a journey that began in his heart, and it continued until she stood at the foot of the cross and then went in the book of Acts and waited for the Holy Spirit to again come upon her life. It's a journey that would take her to that foot of the cross where she would behold her son, the Son of God, forgive her of her sins and of the sins of the entire world. And she had been chosen, and she had been used. Jesus was with Mary until he was 30 years old. He lived in their home and was submissive to them. I need to find this watch or I won't know what I'm doing. Okay. As a carpenter, Mary stood at the foot of the cross at the end of his life, unclinging, reverently as her son, the Son of God, became the Savior of the world, lifting up his life for the sins of the world. But she didn't learn about the cross when she was standing at the foot of the cross. She learned about the cross the very moment that the angel came and did that great annunciation that she would be the mother of the Lord. It was there that the nails began to penetrate. The heart of a very young woman. It was that day that she had to learn. Sorry, it's hard to speak of the cross. It was that day that she had to learn to surrender her reputation. She had been a virgin. We always call her the virgin. She had to surrender everything to this, to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we see that in Luke 1:26-35. I'm not going to read it all, except that in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. And there was a virgin there, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and her name was Mary. And this angel came to her and he says, "You're highly favored. You're very honored. The Lord is with you. You're blessed." And it sounds at that point like it's going to be a great thing. But it says that she was troubled. She was troubled because there was an angel, a messenger of the Lord, coming to see her. And he says, "Don't fear, because you have found favor with God. You have been chosen. You will conceive in your womb. You will bring forth a son, and his name will be Jesus," which is Jehovah is salvation. "And he will be great. He will be the son of the highest. He will, and the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will reign more than ever. And Mary, immediately realizing I'm a virgin, I'm a spouse, which means I'm engaged, but I'm not married, she said, well, how's this going to be, being that I don't know any man? She's already thinking about what's going to happen to her, because in those days, if you were pregnant before you were married, you would be stoned to death. And the angel of the Lord said to her, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. So the Holy Ghost was empowering her from the time she was a very young girl to give birth to the Son of God and to be able to go to the cross. So he empowered her. He overshadowed her. He would overshadow her and come upon her. And the power of the highest would overshadow her. And the holy thing that will be born in you will be called the Son of God. So she immediately became enveloped with the presence of God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and she began to embrace the cross of Jesus. In verse 38, it says that Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't ask any more questions, but she was aware at that very moment that she was going to be living a crucified life. And then if you go on reading in that story, I forgot to say in Matthew, when the birth of Jesus was happening, chapter 1, verse 18, it says that she was found with child by the Holy Ghost, that Joseph, her husband, who was a just man, the man she was engaged to, didn't want her to make a public example out of her and maybe even have her stoned to death, so he was going to hide her. Imagine, this girl that had kept herself pure and beautiful was now going to be put in a hidden place because she would be pregnant with her Lord. But the angel of the Lord came to him and he said, Joseph, son of David, reminding her, remember, you're from the line of David, where the Messiah is coming. Fear not to take Mary to your wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. So here she was also again embracing the cross, as Joseph was starting to be ashamed of her instead of being proud of her. But the angel of the Lord took care of that. Then we see her not only in her when she was being conceived by the Holy Spirit, but also we see her during her pregnancy, and that's in Luke 1, 37 and on, where it talks about that she goes to see her cousin. She surrounded herself by people who longed for the crucified. So she didn't go running and tell everybody on the streets, guess what, I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah, but she went to those crucified ones. She went those ones that live the crucified life, to Elizabeth, who had been barren, her cousin, who had been waiting for the Lord to give her a child. And it says in verse 39 of Luke 1 that she went with haste. I like these women that go with haste. Into the city of Judah, and she entered to the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the salutation, the baby in her womb, which was John the Baptist, who would one day come and herald that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He was in her womb. John the Baptist, who would one day be beheaded because he heralded that Christ was the Lamb of God. So she surrounded herself with those people that looked for the consolation of Israel, that looked for Jesus, that looked for the Redeemer, for the one that Isaiah said would be the Lamb of God that would be without blemish and would offer his life for the salvation of mankind. And we see here that Elizabeth spoke out loudly as she saw her from far away, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, she said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is it to me that the mother of my Lord would come to thee? For as soon as I heard the salutation of your voice, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there will be a performance of those things that were told her of the Lord. And then immediately Mary breaks out into her song, and it's the most beautiful song. And I'll just read two verses. She says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She's just magnifying the Lord because she's in another dimension. She's in a holy dimension with Christ. She's pregnant. She doesn't know what's going to come of her, but she just knows that she is pregnant with her Messiah. She says, and my spirit has rejoiced with the Lord my Savior, with God my Savior. So she recognizes that he is the Savior of the world. She knows the scriptures. And then we see at the birth of Christ how she is embracing the Lord is bringing that crucified life, that cross to her, because she's not exalted in front of all kinds of people, but it's time to be taxed. Isn't that a horrible time of the year? Roland, and I hate taxing time. And she has to maybe, I'm sure she didn't walk, but probably ride a donkey, another woman who rode a donkey, and take a long journey to Bethlehem. And there was no room there in the inn for her. And there were no family there to help her. And she brought forth her son in a manger, in a very humble place. And you see how there she's embracing that humble life, that crucified life, that her son would live. He would be born in Bethlehem and brought up in Nazareth. There was nothing big or fancy for this king. And Mary cuddled baby Jesus in her arms, and she tended to his every needs. The Son of God being totally dependent on her care. And we find out that the angels, the host of heaven, announced, they came and they announced that he was going to be the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. And the shepherds heard this and came and told her all about it. And she pondered these things in her heart. She was chosen by God. The angels were singing. The lowly shepherds were praising God. She would probably be shamed in the world. She was blessed. She pondered these things, which means she treasured them in her heart. That's in Luke 2:19. And we see that a band of wise men came from the east. These were the educators or the scientists of the day who studied the prophecies and studied the stars. And they had been hailing Jesus. They came hailing Jesus because they had been following his star as king of the Jews. And they came to visit her, and they fell down and they worshiped. So she has all these elite, rich wise men who traveled everywhere, and they were the kingmakers. When they came into a town and they said somebody was king, he was king because the stars said it. And the gospel is written in the stars, and they had been watching this star, which was his star. And we know that Herod knew all about it, and all Bethlehem knew all about it, because Herod asked the scribes, and the scribes said, oh yeah, it's prophesied that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. But he didn't go out. Herod didn't go out to worship him. And all Bethlehem was terrified. They were terrified at Herod, because when Herod was mad, he killed people. And Herod went out and he slaughtered all the children in Ramah, or in the Bethlehem area. So you can imagine, here's Mary with this little baby, experiencing and embracing the cross of Jesus, that crucified life, that terror of death, as all these children were being killed for the sake of her child. Herod was looking for her son and had all those children killed in Ramah. So Mary and Joseph, being warned of God, had to flee to Egypt. So now they have to go to another place. They can't even live in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem or Nazareth, in the place of God, where God's people live. But they had to go live in Egypt, fulfilling the prophecies until the death of Herod. In Galatians 2:20, Paul put it so eloquently when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I yet live, yet it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And Paul said, I have determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. I believe that Mary in her heart made that determination to live that crucified life, to not know anything among anybody except her son and him being the Christ and him being crucified. Oh, she didn't understand everything that was going on in her life. And then we see Mary at the dedication of Christ. And we see in Luke 2:21, where Mary took him to the temple to present him to the Father for the service, as was the custom. And there was a just and a devout man there named Simeon. And he came by the Spirit of God to the temple, and he blessed God, saying that Jesus is God's salvation for all the people, and he would bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to God's people. And then he prophesied as he looked at Mary, and he said, a sword will pierce through your soul, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. And she probably looked back and thought, my heart was already pierced in the beginning when I was a virgin, and then when I had to flee to Egypt, and when all those children were killed in Ramah. What else is going to happen? But she continued to embrace the cross of Jesus. And then Anna the prophetess in verse 36 of chapter 2, who served God with fasting and prayer in the temple, bore witness that he was the Redeemer. He's the one who would redeem. And they understood what these words meant, Savior, Redeemer, Lamb of God, because they would go yearly to the temple and they would offer up lambs. It was the normal thing in their custom in those days that they would offer up a lamb for the redemption of their sins. So they understood. But did they really understand that Jesus was really going to die? He was going to redeem them from their sins. But Mary would ponder these things in her heart and treasure them. And then you see her embracing the cross as she goes, when he's 12 years old, they go to Jerusalem, and Jesus tarried behind. And it was the custom that they would all walk in groups as they'd go into the cities and out of the cities. And Mary and Joseph just felt that little Jesus was along with them, and all of a sudden they realized that he wasn't there. She had taken care of him during his infancy and childhood, and she understood, Jesus understood clearly, we see at the age of 12, that his mission on earth was to do the Father's business, because he had stayed in the temple with the scholars and they were discussing the word of God, and maybe he was trying to get them to understand that that Christ was coming, trying to teach them. And when the parents realized that he wasn't there, when they went once a year to the Feast of the Passover, they went back. His mother went back, and she asked him, where have you been? And he said, why are you seeking me? Didn't you know that I was about my Father's business? And I'm sure she didn't understand what that all meant. And I'm sure a sword, those nails of the cross and that sword continued to pierce her heart as she thought about that, maybe that night and the few weeks and maybe years that went on, that he was doing his Father's business in the temple, and that he had a Father that called him to do something that she didn't seem to have a part in anymore. So the sword continued to pierce her heart. Jesus reminded her gently of the main purpose that he had on this earth, and that was the Father's business. But he did go back, and he became subject to his parents, to Mary and Joseph, until he was 30 years old. And then in Luke 2:51, we see, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart, so she would think about him. What does all this mean? This temple situation, the Father's business, and yet now he's working with the Father, his earthly father, which was Joseph, and with her, and it must have been so awesome, so tender. We don't know about those years, and I think that it's because God reserved them for her, to treasure those years in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Then we see Jesus with the disciples at a wedding, and this is where his first miracles take place. And Mary continues to embrace the cross, not really understanding what all it meant. But disciples is at a wedding, and that's in John 2:1, and it says, and the mother of Jesus was there. And she was there at the wedding, and he was 30, and it was 2 days prior to this wedding. Jesus had been baptized by John, who had declared that he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And did she quite understand, did everybody quite understand that it meant that he would be taken as a lamb to the slaughter and butchered as he offered his life for the sins of the world? And many disciples had gathered out and had seen this, and I'm sure she had heard about this baptism, especially here at this wedding. And on the third day after this baptism, he had strongly but respectfully began to detach himself from Mary as they went to this wedding. As a son being in obedience and in submission to his mother and father, he was entering into his ministry. He was going to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world, doing his Father's business. And at this wedding, they ran out of wine, as you well know, and wine was always served. It was the grape juice. It was the fruit of the vine. It was fresh. It was good. And they had run out, and Mary, who'd been with Jesus all those years, maybe he'd performed miracles. We don't know what he did, but she knew that Jesus could take care of a lot of things, because she ran up to him, and she said, they're out of wine, Jesus. And he said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? And you can just, as a mother, you know that pain of that severing of that relationship with her son. My hour has not yet come, he said to her. And yet she said, do whatever he says. She submitted to that severing of that relationship. not really knowing what was going on, and embraced again the crust. Jesus was beginning to prepare her for the day that she would stand at the foot of the cross, where he would give his life for the world, and they would be separated until she would go into his kingdom. He was beginning to prepare her for that day when she stood at the cross and he would become her Lord and her Savior, as well as that of the whole world. So the sword continued to pierce her heart. And then we see Jesus one day when he was with his disciples, and she went to see him with all of her children, because she went home and had a lot of other children. That's in John 2, 11 and 12. And it says, This beginning of signs did Jesus in Cana, Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. So she finally came to the realization she couldn't be following him around all over the place. She had children to take care of, and she went home. She wasn't able to be close to her son anymore. She had other children to tend to. Her son had a mission to accomplish. She wasn't quite sure what it was, how it would be accomplished, but she knew that he would be the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. Hundreds of Old Testament had to be fulfilled during these next 3 years. And I'm sure that she knew a lot of them. And I'm sure she was searching for them as she was home instructing her children. He had to set his face like flint. He had to sever those ties with his mother. And he had to go straight to the cross. Then you see Jesus in Matthew 12, 46. He had been healing the sick and raising the dead and just obsessed with the Father's will and the Father's business and doing it. And many people were saying he has a demon. I mean, he's just like obsessed. He's just going from place to place serving God. And they were accusing him of being mad. And while he was still talking to the multitudes, his mother, no doubt, had heard these things, and his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. So maybe she thought, well, let's go and let's see how he's doing, and maybe we can talk to him and maybe get him to come and rest. You know, I'm just thinking, because that's what we mothers do. And they told him, your mother and your brothers are there and they want to talk to you. And he had all this multitude around him. And he said to her, who is my mother? As he pointed out to the big crowd. And you imagine, she's one little person back there with her little band of children. Who is my mother? Who are my brother? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and he said, here is my mother. These are my brethren. Powerful statements. For whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. He was further detaching himself from her as her son and his mother and introducing her to her new family, which was the family of God, the body of Christ. So the sword continued to puncture its way in her heart, that the hearts of millions all over the world, until the day that he comes back, throughout the ages past and the ages to come, might receive salvation through the death of the only begotten and eternal Son of the Father. And then lastly, we see Jesus at the cross, and this deserves hours of beholding. And you must take time to behold Jesus on the cross as she comes to the place where she finally is at the foot of the cross that she has embracing from the time that angel came to her. There she stood, not clinging to the cross, not fainting and drawing attention, not weeping, not shocked. She, I'm sure, did do some weeping, but you don't hear of her just falling apart. Not intruding to get help, not running around trying to get somebody to help her son, but she stands in reverential awe. Her boys did not believe on him. The multitude rejected him. The disciples were not there except John the Beloved. The day was dark. The earthquake was strong, and she stood by her son, as well as other people that were there and many who hated him. She was being still. She was knowing that he was the Christ. She was believing. She was beholding her son, the Son of God, taking away the sins of the world. And she witnessed his last seven sayings. She witnessed the word of forgiveness. In Luke 23, 34, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And she witnessed the word of salvation in Luke 23, 42, when the thief said to him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." And I just thought how she was there at the foot of the cross, and she wasn't going to get to be with him anymore, but a thief would get to be with Jesus in paradise. And I imagine she just thought about all those scriptures and all those words he had told her for those 30 years. They were all treasured in her heart, and they were coming alive at the cross. And then she witnessed the word of affection, and that was to her in John 19, 25 and 26, where it says, "Now there stood by the cross Jesus's mother. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved," which is John, "he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son." And I love that because there he reminds her, "Yes, I know you're my mother." He called her not spiritual mother, but I know you're my maternal mother. Behold, this is your son. Behold me. And I'm sure she spent the rest of her life digging through the scriptures, beholding her son. And he said to his disciple, John, "Behold my mother." And then she heard that word of anguish, Matthew 27, 46, as she stood at the foot of the cross. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried in Matthew 27, 46 with a loud voice. And he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I thought about how that must have pierced her heart, because she would never have forsaken him. She followed him. She embraced his cross. She embraced his life. She stood there. And now the very Father, the one that he was doing the business for, was rejecting him. God had turned his back on her son. The holy God could not look upon the sin that his son was bearing for the whole world. And then she heard the word of suffering in John 19, 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all the things were accomplished and that the scriptures were fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." And how many times, you can just ponder on that. How many times had she given him to drink? And now there wasn't any water. There was only vinegar. There was a spear that would pierce his side. But there was nothing she could do. She could not help him. But then she heard the word of victory. John 19:30. When he said, "It's finished." And she probably thought, "Oh, good. It's finished. Whatever, it's finished." Sin and death had been conquered so that all who believed on him could have eternal life. And then she heard the word of contentment. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, and I have said this in so many different tones of voices, I want to know, I want to hear how he said it. When he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having thus said, he gave up the ghost. And she had pondered and stored all these words in her heart. And maybe, I like to think she was saying, "Oh yeah, I remember that from that scripture, and I remember that from that scripture." But the main thing is the Holy Spirit had embraced her and held her there as she stood and was able to witness her son When the sword pierced her soul the deepest, Mary was standing as the Son of God spoiled or disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them at the cross. She stood as he was coming against all the demons of hell who would ever come against any one of us. And he was winning the victory for every one of our lives. We never have to worry about what's happening in our lives because Jesus Christ has won the victory for whatever you're going through today. She was there when Jesus once and for all conquered Satan on the cross. Her son had become the Savior, and not only hers, but ours. We last see her in the book of Acts with her spiritual family, the one that he had introduced her to. Waiting for the promise for the comforter of the Father, Mary had successfully followed Jesus to the cross, and there she had found forgiveness for her sins and the sins of the world. She now awaited the comfort, the instruction, and the empowering of that same Holy Spirit who had overshadowed her womb and put that child in her. And now she was wondering, what will he do now with me? She was being empowered. The one who had overshadowed her would now empower her and give birth to the only hope for man. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, who would give eternal life to all of us who are sinners. God bless you. Let's pray.